Hey guys. So this is another one of those videos that I didn't actually want to make, but I just feel like no one's talking about it, at least not with the level of context that I think it is due. And I think things would just be a lot easier for people to understand if they realize that everything we're seeing right now isn't just about right now. It's about a future that is being built around us right now. So I'm sure you've all seen what's been going on, not just at our borders lately, but it borders around the world, but especially the nonsensical, almost cartoonish situation that's down there at our southern border. With the Border Patrol cutting barbed wire fences. I mean, we live in Texas, okay? And there's what I would call an unconstitutional border check miles inland that we're required to pass through just so we can go to Big Bend National Park. Every single time we want to go to that park, we have to go through that checkpoint to get there. It's the only road. So for them to suddenly let in record numbers of thousands upon thousands of people and fist bump them on the way in doesn't actually make any sense. Right, this is a country where, as an American citizen, I'm expected to let a TSA agent go to second base on me simply because I want to get on a plane. Okay, any plane, not even a plane that's leaving the country, just getting on a plane at all. But this is the kind of thing that's going on down at the border. And media is all over talking about it, and everyone else is talking about it on social media, and it's everywhere all the time. And then all of a sudden, just like that, you have President Biden announcing that due to the crisis, right, he has no choice now but to build 20 more miles of border wall with Trump-era funding because they want to follow the law.
There's nothing under the law other than they have to use the money for what is appropriate. I can't stop that.
Do you believe the border wall works?
No.
This is not the way that we believe is going to be effective here. We believe in modernizing the system, not actually building a wall. The president said himself he does not think this is effective, and so we're complying by law. And we believe that in the rule of law here, and we're moving forward and getting that and following the law.
The Biden administration is announcing some drastic action to address the migrant crisis as illegal crossings surge right now at the U.S.-Mexico border. It says it will waive 26 federal laws and regulations to build more barrier walls.
There will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration, number one.
There will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration. How can you say that he's not breaking that promise?
Well, what I can say is that there's a law that the DHS is complying with. We believe in the rule of law.
It will waive 26 federal laws.
And so we're complying by law, rule of law, law, law. There's a law.
Despite the fact that the Biden administration will admittedly be breaking some 26 laws and regulations in order to build this. And notice what Biden says there. He says he knows this won't work. But when he's asked, he says the money was appropriated for this wall. I can't stop that. So this is a guy like other presidents we've had who does whatever he feels like whenever he feels like it, except when it's something he literally promised during his campaign that he would not ever be doing. That doesn't make any sense. Okay? And being libertarian on X said, now Biden wants to build a wall. This one will keep people from leaving. And my brain just kind of jolted when I read that, because I remembered that Trump didn't just sign an EO regarding border walls the first week after he was inaugurated. He signed one regarding expediting a biometric entry-exit tracking system. So my question is, does this Trump-era funding that Biden's talking about with his border wall include the expediting of that biometric entry-exit tracking program? Because those two things were right next to each other on Trump's list of things to do. They went hand in hand, okay? If you'll recall, one of the very first things he did after he was inaugurated, so this is week one of him getting in there, was sign an executive order on border security and immigration enforcement improvements, and that had to do with the southern border wall. On day five, he signed that. 2 days later, he signed another related EO titled Protecting the Nation from Foreign Terrorist Entry into the United States, based supposedly on the 9/11 Commission report's recommendations. And he was calling for an expedited biometric entry exit tracking system. It's right here in section 7, and it reads, expedited completion of the biometric entry exit tracking system. The Secretary of Homeland Security shall expedite the completion and implementation of the system for all travelers to the United States, as recommended by the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks upon the United States. That's literally everybody. Now, apparently this executive order was blocked by court orders from various states for some of the provisions in it. It was revoked. It was replaced with another EO that also had the biometric tracking system in it. And by the end of 2017, you had Homeland Security quietly testing out facial recognition software in airports, which a report by the Center on Privacy and Technology, which comes out of Georgetown University's law school, said violated Americans' privacy. And they referred to the program as, quote, an invasive surveillance tool that the department has installed at nearly a dozen airports without going through a required federal rulemaking process. So that was by the end of Trump's first year in office. But the truth is, this biometric entry-exit program that Trump was in such a hurry to push through, that he signed an executive order just 7 days after he officially became president, that was not even remotely his idea or even a new idea. Because Obama tried to get that done before the end of his second term, and he didn't get to it. Congress before that had set a deadline for it in 2006 under George W. Bush. But again, it didn't happen. But this even goes further back than Bush Jr. and 9/11, because this goes all the way back to 1996, when President Clinton signed the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act into law, which required a biometric identifier be included at the country's borders. So Trump was really just finishing something there that his old golfing bud Clinton started. But realize something here. This isn't going to be just for people visiting, just tourists and migrants and whatever. This is going to be for everybody. They're locking this place down, and it's going to be for everyone. So this article here from February 3rd, 2017 spells it out. It repeats the part that I just read to you from Section 7 about how he's directing the Secretary of Homeland Security to expedite the completion and implementation of the biometric entry-exit tracking system for all travelers to the United States, as recommended by the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks upon the United States. That means the U.S. government would have to install equipment that would do either fingerprint or iris scans on everyone entering and leaving the United States. Everyone entering and leaving the United States. So that's everybody, okay? Again, the timing of this wall being built by a guy who literally ran on the premise of never building another foot of wall.
There will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration.
And the cartoonish level of buildup that just happened at our borders that doesn't even make sense almost, all of a sudden like that, justifying this move. From a guy who literally ran on the premise of saying he was never going to build another foot of wall. It can't be missed, especially with what just went down in the last few years. And so I've got to ask, is this wall for keeping people out or keeping people in? I mean, just on a side note, do you know how hard it is to renounce citizenship? The U.S. has some of the most punishing tax burdens for citizens living abroad of any nation on earth. And used to be, if you didn't like it, you could just renounce and leave. You know, all those people online all the time are like, well, if you don't like it here, because you're always critical of stuff, you don't like it, you could just leave. Well, guess what? You actually cannot just leave. Did you know that? You actually can't just leave. Back in 2010, they passed something called the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, which is FATCA, which forces banks around the world to report activities of anyone they suspect of being an American to the IRS. And that same year, they first started charging people a fee of $450 to renounce their citizenship. Well, all of a sudden in 2014, that number shot up to $2,350. So that's $2,350 you have to pay or you cannot do that. And they will come after you. They're coming after people. They were threatening some lady who married a guy in Germany and lived there for like 26 years, and they told them they would come after them for capital gains tax if they ever tried to sell their home, and she hadn't even lived here in almost 3 decades. That's the level, okay? So you can't just leave, derisive air quotes. That's not a thing. In fact, I just saw this article a couple days ago about how There's a class action lawsuit happening right now of people who are alleging that this $2,350 renunciation fee is arbitrary, capricious, and illegal. So that's going on. So there are lots of people right now that are suing the government over this. And by the way, some of the software and things that are being used at the border, the CIA-funded Palantir, which was founded by Peter Thiel, has received millions of dollars in contracts with Homeland Security and ICE to roll out software systems of interconnected databases and profiling algorithms that, when you start reading the details of it, it sounds an awful lot like DARPA's 2003 Total Information Awareness Program, which I'm sure you all remember the logo for that one. DARPA couldn't get away with it because Americans didn't want the government vacuuming up all their data. But apparently the tech giants is just totally fine for some reason for people. I don't understand what makes it different. I don't know that there's a lot of meaningful difference sometimes between corporations and our government, but for some reason people seem to think so. I mean, it makes sense to call it Palantir if you've watched Lord of the Rings. The Palantir was a crystal ball that not only watches everything everyone does, and it can see the past, but it can also predict the future with that data. So what people might do next, right? I don't know. Look, my confusion around Thiel has always been that the guy claims to be a libertarian in his views. And so I personally have no idea how preserving civil liberties even remotely squares or doesn't totally stand in complete contradiction with taking a science fiction level massive Big Brother surveillance tool that's utilized by evil wizards in Lord of the Rings and then making that a science reality that we all have to live under. Obviously I'm missing the Hellfire Club on that. I just don't get where how that works, but that's neither here nor there. Everything about what's happening at our southern border right now reminds me of a scene out of the indie future dystopic film Sleep Dealer. Aaron had me watch this a few years ago, and it stuck with me the whole time because it's this future nightmare version of our world where water resources have been tightly controlled and locked down with drone-protected walls and fences and stuff, and surveillance tools are just ubiquitous everywhere. And there's a scene just for a second where an American citizen attempts to cross the border into Mexico from the United States, and a talking biometric computer-mounted machine gun evaluates him and scans his eyeball and then says, "You may exit the country, sir."
You may exit the country, sir.
So that was giving him permission to leave, because you're not allowed to just leave the country. It didn't say you may now enter Mexico. It wasn't Mexico who was making that decision. It said, you may exit the country. You're allowed to leave. You have the privilege of being allowed to go out of here. And by the way, the UN is paying a lot of the costs associated with people coming here from Latin and South America.
One of the things that is happening here and all along the migrant trail that led here and beyond all the way up to the border is that the United Nations is handing out cash and debit cards and rental assistance and movement assistance to immigrants to help sustain them on their road to El Norte.
They're directly giving people debit cards with cash payments. They're paying for travel costs like bus tickets and hostels and stuff along the way. And this has been going on for years. And then you have people saying, why would the UN do that? Well, why would they do it? Do you think it's just because of some humanitarian mission and not because the UN wants to be the head of the global world state, the creation of which is greatly hastened by mass migration overwhelming national borders all over the place? And handing out these cards and the digital IDs they've been signing people up for and stuff like that, handing these cash cards out and what have you, feeds certainly into their UN Agenda 2030 goals. Specifically goal number one, which if you look on the regular chart is just vague, no poverty, right? But as you can see in this May 2023 Common Agenda Policy Brief called A Global Digital Compact, an Open, Free, and Secure Digital Future for All, if you come down to page 8, there's the color-coded chart again, and they're showing a little bit more about what they mean about these things. And no poverty specifically says digital IDs linked with bank or mobile money accounts.
a lot of these people are complaining that they've been here for, you know, days or weeks or even months without their United Nations debit cards, which is typically what they're going to get. And then each month that they're here, the United Nations will transfer an amount. It might be a couple of hundred dollars, it might be thousands of pesos, which is enough to sustain people for a month in rental assistance and food and that sort of thing.
So if those people have money accounts, then very likely they also have a digital ID that's linked to it.
Uganda has launched a massive biometric refugee verification exercise of the estimated more than 1 million refugees living in the country. Over 400 UNHCR staff members have been deployed to work with teams from Uganda's Office of the Prime Minister, WFP, and other partner organizations, as well as volunteer refugees to carry out the process. The verification will better assess refugee data in the country, ensuring greater accuracy and efficiency to get refugees the support they need. The government is using UNHCR's advanced biometric registration software, which has already been used to register some 4.4 million refugees in 48 countries worldwide. Refugees who are verified will then be eligible for new food ration cards and other individual assistance.
Okay, so this is all integrated here. And of course, our government helps fund all of this, just by the way. But parts of our government have also been involved for decades in the purposeful destabilization in Latin America and others via CIA-backed wars and coups.
It's actually been an open secret for decades, but for the first time now, the CIA has released documents that show its role in the 1953 coup. That is the coup that toppled Iran's democratically elected prime minister.
Guatemala, 1954. Flushed with success, America's secret government decided another troublesome leader must go.
Independence, featuring corrupt governments, became the model of choice.
How and why was Patrice Lumumba murdered 40 years ago? This is where CIA agent Larry Devlin lives. He was the man the American government entrusted with the murder of Lumumba.
In a heavy wave of rioting in the streets of Ciudad Trujillo and in other sections of the Dominican Republic.
Station master for the Central Intelligence Agency. And he retired, and but was still doing freelance work, if you may. And the United States government, he told me this himself, had him and another man go down to the Dominican Republic, put a tree across the road, and when the president came by, they just machine gunned it.
What they were trying to build was a just, equitable democracy that took control of Chile's economy from the United States and its proxies. In Santiago, General Pinochet, America's man, sent in his British-made bombers against the presidential palace.
So, to ignore the things that the government has done, not just under Biden's administration, but previous administrations before him, going back to when I was a child, to drive migrants here, for anyone to think that that same instrument involved in doing that is going to solve or fix a problem that it caused, without that solution being a pre-planned, prescribed solution, scribed previously, the very kind of solution that's found after the words problem and reaction in the Hegelian dialectic, to think that that's not going to be the case is really just choosing to be blind to everything that's planned for this future that they're telling us all the time they're trying to usher in. That's also been long reported by the mainstream media, just by the way, that the UN wants a universal digital ID, that would be particularly useful for refugees. And of course, that's also been touted by the World Economic Forum as a solution to alleviate global risks of health and movement, which they started pushing really right after COVID hit the fan in a report they put out in May 2020. But they've probably pushed it before that, but that's the one I immediately found. They've been pushing it for a while. Overall here, my issue is that once there's global governance, if you don't like it, who can you appeal to, right? Where are you going to go? I've said that on this channel for the whole time I've had this channel. You know, Mars? Are you going to Mars? Because I don't think that's what's happening for a lot of us. I don't think a lot of us have a ticket to Mars. And this kind of situation right here is why colonists during the American Revolution started gathering at Liberty trees, and the flag that they hoisted on those trees said appeal to heaven. Because at that point, the tyranny of man's systems became so great that they had to take their anger and their complaints to a higher court than that of man. They were appealing directly to heaven. So people have also, I've seen people making these comments, why so many military-aged men? Why does it seem like a lot of these videos of people coming over the border, there's hardly any women and children, but it's mostly military-aged males? And I'm just going to throw this out there that U.S. military is having a really hard time right now recruiting people. So it's been reported, and it started really being talked about a lot last year, how they were facing the biggest recruiting hurdles in 50 years in the military. And if you recall what was going on 50 years ago, that was 1973 was the end of direct U.S. military involvement in the Vietnam War. So you can probably imagine why that wasn't super popular then. And so we haven't seen these kinds of recruiting issues with our military since that time. And so last October, it was reported that the Army had missed its annual recruitment by 25%, which was the worst ever. And that the Army itself had shrunk to the smallest size it had been since 1940. And that they were struggling to find recruits. And that has continued through this year. Apparently, the Navy has fallen short 7,000 sailors for 2023, despite relaxing the rules to get in and offering big bonuses and all kinds of stuff. Still, people are not signing up, okay? So what the military has been doing now is offering a fast track to citizenship for immigrants to sign up.
The goal here is to try to overcome years of recruiting shortfalls.
And interestingly, that was all over the mainstream media back in June of this year. Right before this became a big talking point, you had all these articles coming out all over the place about how Uncle Sam wants migrants, facing shortages, the military is recruiting immigrants and trading citizenship for service. So just saying, that is going on. And with some of the things that are happening in the world right now, do they plan to go to a wider world war? I mean, it's only been talked about for a very long time that that was something that would be done eventually to unite the world, that it would be the final thesis, antithesis, synthesis for the East and West through a World War III scenario. It's not really going to work so well if the military is at its lowest recruitment that it's seen in 50 years and they're facing a massive recruiting shortage. I'm just saying the problem suddenly just gets worse and worse and worse, and the media is all over it. People are freaking out all over social media. And now Biden is putting in Trump's wall. Does that even make sense to you? And how long will it be until he goes ahead with the rest of the plan? And we just have to have the biometric entry-exit tracking system and the digital IDs to go along with that and really just finish what Trump and Obama and Bush and Clinton were all working on. Because this whole thing is a one-way street, guys. I know that there are lots of people who like to really get partisan and take sides and act like they're all bought into that and stuff, but I'm not ever going to do that either. So I've not done it this whole time. And I won't be doing it in the future. This is a one-way road, and it doesn't matter which side of the carpet the person at the front of the teleprompter is on. It really doesn't, though. Because when it comes to the overarching situation, that thing doesn't change. The stuff they're doing with that does not really change all that much. Window dressing, if anything. So this is a one-way street. It goes one way. I don't know who's going to vote their way off of that road. It's only going to one. It's like a one-way road that goes in one direction only. And that one thing, that one direction right now is locking the world down. They're locking everything down. It may be digitally, but it's getting locked down. That's what they're doing. And it's awful. I don't want to live in that world. I don't want to live in a world where The border crossings in this country in particular have been the worst border crossings of any border. I have crossed borders in multiple different foreign countries. And I'm not just talking about Mexico and Canada. I've been to multiple countries in Europe, and I'm telling you, this is the worst. Coming back into my own country has been the absolute worst. They treat us like freaking terrorists when we come back into this country. And it's our country. I have cried after border crossings because of some of the things that were done. We were held one time coming back in from Canada for half an hour because we had camera equipment in the back of our car. And the guy was asking us all kinds of questions like, are you going to make any stops? It's like, okay, we're coming in Michigan. We live in freaking Texas. Yeah, I think we're probably going to have to stop. I think we're going to have to get gas. And also, we freaking live here. Are you going to meet anyone later? Was another question. And it was just like, no, I'm going to come back into my country and then I'm going to go live in a cave in the middle of literal freaking nowhere for the rest of my life, speaking to no one but birds and trees. Is that cool? Is that cool with you? Can I come home now? No, it was a nightmare. It's awful. And that was when we were filming for Minds of Men. So that sucked. Going into Canada, by the way, not even remotely the same way. Like today probably is totally different after all this stuff that Trudeau has done to it. But back then, she was like, do you have any fruits and vegetables? No? Have a nice day. She's like, she was super friendly. Like it was, I was like, wow, that is incredible. I've never been treated so nicely before by border people. I guess ultimately I'm just so tired of talking about these things because it feels like every time a new thing happens, it gets reported on in this vacuum of context, as if no one anywhere can put the two and two together with the larger future plan that's unfolding here, because it all goes together. It's all one thing. These things aren't happening naturally. They're not organic. They're also not happening for no reason. Like I said, it would be a lot easier for people to understand what's happening right now if they just realized that everything we're seeing right now is not about right now. We are in the future's waiting room here. And we've been living here for a pretty long while now, maybe my whole lifetime in some ways. And yeah, the blasé decor and expired magazines with the same stories on loop are starting to get pretty damn old at this point. But ultimately, I just want to say again, and I'll probably just keep saying this, and I'll probably just keep repeating it until this channel no longer exists, that we don't have to just march into some Orwellian dystopic nightmare future. Like, that's not something we have to do. I don't know why so many people are just accepting it. I get that everyone's tired. I get that a lot of crap has happened, but we don't have to live this way. That's not... People need to start remembering where authority ultimately comes from, which is spelled out in the Declaration of Independence, where it says, right here, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, they're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their powers from the consent of the governed. Where does it come from? Where do their just powers come from? The consent of the governed. Not the consent of the government to give itself the power to enslave everyone. That's not a thing. That's tyranny. That's the kind of tyranny that's laid out in this document, and that's the kind of tyranny that's why this document was ever written in the first place. But writing it down on a piece of paper isn't what makes that statement true. It's just the truth. That is just the truth. And I really wish more people could wake up and remember who they are and fully grasp that truth. I love you guys. And I want a better future for everyone. And I know in my heart, in my soul, I know that the future does not have to be like this.
to solve the puzzle.